We're here with WearTech founder and CTO John Matthew Holt and CEO John Adams to talk about the problems companies are having with upgrading their systems to meet the latest web security requirements, otherwise known as TLS. Why do companies need to upgrade their TLS protections?
TLS 1.0, which is one of the TLS standards which is now deprecated and removed, was born out of SSL version 3 in 1999. So we're talking about 20 plus years ago. And over the years, a number of high-profile vulnerabilities and exploits and attacks were identified for this TLS version 1. Like the high-profile Beast vulnerabilities and the high-profile Poodle vulnerabilities that people may recall reading about in the media over the years. The root of these high-profile vulnerabilities stemmed from elements of weak cryptography incorporated into this first version of the TLS specification, TLS version 1, where these weak cryptography methods and mechanisms were not really sufficiently resistant against contemporary attacks and exploitation methods. So in response to that, TLS 1.1 was developed, but it's interesting because TLS 1.1 didn't really get much airtime in the industry. Some people even describe TLS 1.1 as something of the forgotten middle child of the TLS specifications. And while TLS 1.1 didn't have any major known vulnerabilities like Beast or Poodle, it did share the same weak cryptographic elements like its younger sibling. And so as a result, most applications, certainly most contemporary applications, leapfrogged both TLS 1 and TLS 1.1 and went to 1.2. That's a little bit of history there. While most applications and systems today, and certainly greenfield applications and systems today, use TLS 1.2 or indeed TLS 1.3, there is a long tail of core business applications that are still using and are stuck on these outdated cryptographic libraries inside their software stack that do not support TLS 1.2. And part of the reason for this is that while TLS 1.2 itself was released in 2008, making it now 12 years old, at the time of its release, some of the major web browsers and platforms didn't actually add support for TLS 1.2 until some significant period of time later. For example, Internet Explorer didn't add support for TLS 1.2 until 5 years later in 2013. An Android operating system that a lot of people have on their mobile phones, Android operating systems prior to version 5 only support TLS 1.0. So you've got this kind of latent tail of applications or software stacks that either don't support TLS 1.2 or have no route to getting TLS 1.2. So the removal process for these older and now cryptographically insecure TLS versions, TLS 1.0 and 1.1, that began in 2018 and a little bit earlier, in accordance with and kind of following the PCI standards, PCI enforced a standard to remove TLS 1.0. In 2018. And then a few months after that, major platforms and particularly cloud computing systems and specifications like 3GPP, 5G, Cloudflare, what else? GitHub, PayPal, Amazon Elastic Load Balancing, all started to deprecate and remove TLS 1 and 1.1. And then finally, kind of where this really became a problem and becomes a problem for people who have applications that aren't TLS 1.2 compatible is then in October 2018, all of the main browser vendors, so that'll be Google, Apple, Mozilla, and Microsoft, they all jointly agreed to deprecate TLS 1.1 and 1.0 by March 2020. So, a little over 6 months ago. And each of the respective web browsers did this, pulled TLS 1.1, TLS 1.0 from their web browsers beginning March 20 releases going forward. And that had the consequence of meaning that any service that didn't support TLS 1.2 essentially went dark.
So, John Matthew, it's great points, and I really appreciate you walking us through the history. So why is it so difficult for organizations to upgrade? Because we hear that a lot, mm-hmm. and we're seeing a lot of requests for people trying to figure out what are my options. But first and foremost, why is it so difficult?
It comes down to core business applications is probably a good way to describe it. It's not uncommon for particularly mid and large organizations and enterprises and companies and so on to have within them and operating within them mission-critical business applications that are running on older software stacks, commensurate to the time when the application was first installed. So, for example, many older Java applications, which are Java 7 and earlier, so applications that run on the Java stack, either do not support TLS 1.2 or have TLS version 1.2 disabled by default in certain situations. For example, some specific examples, any applications, any kind of core business critical applications that were installed 10 odd years ago or earlier using things like versions of Java 6, particularly before Java 6 update 121 earlier than that version, don't support TLS 1.2 at all. So that means any application that's running on Java 4, unbelievably, there are some applications that run Java 4 today, any applications running Java 5, any applications running Java 6 earlier than 6U121, don't have any support for TLS 1.2. And that means they can't be accessed or used by the web browsers, Chrome and from Google and Apple and Microsoft and Mozilla and so on. But it's not just a Java 6 problem. It's also a Java 7 problem. Java 7, whilst it has support for TLS 1.2, it doesn't enable TLS 1.2 for client connections by default. So if you have a server application, you have a business application that is critical to your organization, critical to your business, and it is using Java 7 for outbound connections, unless you are making manual configuration changes, you're using an off-the-shelf Java 7 JDK, TLS 1.2 is going to be disabled by default, causing problems for you. And then finally, kind of even fast forwarding to Java 8, which is still not the latest language applications, but is the lion's share of business application deployments today. Still, even Java 8 applications aren't entirely out of the woods because Java 8 doesn't support TLS 1.3. And so when people start and want to start to use the latest cryptographic standards, which is now 1.3, not 1.2, Java 8 doesn't get them there. Say the Oracle Java SE 8 doesn't get them there. They have to move to something like Java 11. So the difficulty comes from the fact that organizations and enterprises are built on these applications that run their business and upon which their business depends. These applications were installed at a certain point in time, and that came along with a certain software stack and certain libraries and certain levels of specification support and protocol support, and those applications are running just fine. And the problem to upgrade, the difficulty to upgrade, is anyone who's ever had any experience or practice trying to upgrade, say, Java applications, moving from one major JDK version to another major JDK version, or from, say, a commercial JDK to a different open source JDK, it's very, very common. People experience incompatibilities, problems, the application won't work properly, or functionality is disabled in some way, or doesn't work correctly. And so it becomes this upgrade problem. We have these core apps that are built on a certain stack at a certain point in time. The stack and the libraries used by the stack are now problematic because they don't support the specifications and protocols that are needed. But upgrading those is a non-trivial effort, often requiring development time, developer effort, lots of testing, lots of cost and time. And so many organizations don't have the resources to do that, be it money or the people or the professionals.
I hear you, and it makes a lot of sense. So what are what are the options? What's available to me that, because this problem isn't going away and I need to address it?
In an ideal world, right? Everyone with one of these, say, Java applications affected by these kind of limitations, Java 6 or Java 7, et cetera, as I spoke about a bit earlier, would just, the customer would go download the newest JDK, change the directory that their application starts from, restart their JDK, and suddenly they'd be using the latest TLS versioning and security problems. That's certainly what Java platform vendors would like to promote and would like people to think. But, as I was saying, anyone that's had that firsthand experience of maintaining Java applications will know that upgrading them to the latest JDK is error-prone and difficult. Now, for server applications, for server-side Java applications particularly, there's really only one stopgap to kind of get around this problem as a way of working around the TLS upgrade problem, and that's to employ the use of reverse proxies. to receive or to communicate in TLS 1.2 connections with client endpoints like web browsers, for example, and then proxy that internally, downgrade that connection internally to their actual application stack using the older TLS 1 or 1.0 connections. That certainly can work technically, but it's far from desirable. It's far from scalable because it requires deploying and maintaining additional applications or additional appliances or additional services that provide that reverse proxy facility. And also then what becomes a problem with that is the issue of scalability. If you've got one application in the corner with one IP address, that might be, you know, deploying a reverse proxy to receive TLS 1.2 connections and downgrade them to a lower TLS to speak to your application stack might be manageable. But if you have 100 workloads, or you have 500 workloads, you have 1,000 workloads, because you have, your applications are built on a certain software stack, then you get a scalability problem where deploying these kind of reverse proxies just doesn't scale or doesn't scale cost effectively.
You know, look, I know that we've helped, Oratech has helped numerous companies with this problem. It'd be really great if you could spell out for everyone, how do we make this less painful and really a very viable alternative for companies facing this challenge?
If a product, a solution, a tool can come along that can address the fact that the software stack is out of date, then it will have a very convenient and side effect that TLS protocol compliance would also be upgraded and addressed. And that's exactly what Waratech does. And kind of central to Waratech's portfolio of products and capabilities and tools is something we call the Waratech Upgrade Agent. And the clue is kind of in the title, in the name. You know, the job of the Waratech Upgrade Agent is it's a tiny little Java agent, literally less than 10 megabytes. I think it might be 7 megabytes or 6 megabytes in size. Anyone that's had experience deploying Java agents like AppDynamics or New Relic or Dynatrace, the Waratech Upgrade Agent is exactly the same, deploys in exactly the same way. But unlike these other agents that people might have used for other purposes like performance monitoring and so on, the Upgrade Agent, sole job and purpose is to virtually and autonomously translate the older JDK APIs that the application was relying on and transparently and automatically and seamlessly translate those to the JDK APIs of the latest open source JDKs. So, you know, I can give an example, right? Using the Waratech Upgrade Agent, customers can take any Java 4 and above application from pretty much any Java vendor. It can be Oracle Hotspot, Sun Hotspot. It can be SAP, SAP Machine. It can be JRocket, for example, IBM J9. And deploying the upgrade agent, telling the upgrade agent where you want to upgrade to, it can upgrade that workload instantly just with a single restart up to Java 14 and above without any source code changes and no incompatibilities. And the entire process literally takes seconds. And you just download the agent, add it in, restart the application, tell the agent what upgrade you want, what upgrade configuration you want to go to. I want to upgrade, say, from Java 6 to Java 14, as an example. I want to go from Oracle Java SE. I want to then use instead OpenJDK or Amazon Credo or some other open source JDK. And immediately the APIs are upgraded, the performance is upgraded, and critically, TLS is upgraded. And not just upgraded above TLS 1 and 1.1, but to whatever is the newest version that that JDK you've upgraded to support. So in the case of, say, Java 14 JDK, that application that only 5 minutes ago might have been stuck on TLS 1 or 1.1 suddenly finds itself transparently and seamlessly and automatically using TLS version 1.3. And you know, again, using the agents, these runtime agents that can attach to the application stack at runtime, it does this and achieves this with no source code changes, no developer effort.
Really? So one quick last question for you. You said that, I just want to clarify that, you had said that, you know, you can do this in a matter of seconds. Is that, something that you have clients have experienced, and is that scalable across my entire estate?
It is. You know, and a couple of things drive that. The agent is tiny, self-contained, comes in a zip file, a couple of megabytes, drop that onto your server, unpack the zip file. It sits there as, I think, a 7 megabyte directory. You then either set an environmental variable, add it to a startup script, depending upon your application stack, or if it's on Windows, you can set a registry key, and then just restart your application. So, you know, the time to deployment and the deployment process is really how quickly can you copy the artifact to the server in question, add the environmental variable, add the script element or the registry key, and restart your app. And that can also be automated. So, you know, you asked the question there about, you know, what are people's experience like for solving this problem at scale? Because this deployment process with the Waratec Upgrade Agent is so lightweight and simple and seamless and modeled on the standard way of deploying Java agents, you can use automation tools like Chef and Puppet and so on to deploy this out at scale. And indeed, many of the customers that Waratec works with, many of the deployments we do, use these kind of automation tools to apply the Waratec Upgrade Agent, not just to upgrade one or two workloads in the corner, but to upgrade hundreds or sometimes thousands of workloads in the space of a handful of days, a handful of weeks, to completely retrofit their application estate and their workload estate of these critical business applications that are running on these older stacks and immediately make them up to date, leapfrogging all of the missed patches and Java updates from a security perspective, so they get immediate compliance and regulatory compliance for their software stack, upgrading the TLS from the older TLS standards 1.0 and 1.1 up to 1.2 and 1.3, and indeed when 1.4 comes out up to 1.4, boosting application performance and response times, because the application now can immediately start taking advantage of the latest JIT compilers and particularly the latest low-pause garbage collectors that have started to come into Java, such as the ZGC and Shenandoah GCs that have just gone production in Java 15, JDK 15, that just came out September 2020. And then also moving off of the older commercial JDKs that are expensive to maintain and support with their support contracts, and moving to the to the open source community backed and free latest JDKs like Amazon Credo and OpenJDK and so on.
If anyone is looking for information regarding this, the best way to do it would be to go to our website, www.waratec.com. That's waratec.com. And we have information out there. You can also request a demo, and we will have one of our engineers contact you and walk you through the process. We've solved this problem for numerous customers, and they're very happy with the results, and they have experienced some additional benefits above and beyond that relative to security and patching by utilizing our products. Thank you.